a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Ricky Scaparro, the founder of The Pastor and the voice of End Time Headlines, and we welcome you to the broadcast today. And I want to encourage you, if you're new to the broadcast, again, let us know in the comments section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. And as always, we'd appreciate to hear exactly where you guys are tuning in from. Before we get started, as always, we want to encourage you to download our free app. It is available on Apple, it's available on Android, and it is free for your convenience. Download the free app, get caught up with all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our latest podcast that you can either watch or listen at your leisure. If you're listening or watching this from, if you're listening to this from Spotify or Apple, again, go to your Play Store, whether it's Apple or Android, and type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official trademark ETH logo that you see right there on your screen if you're watching. If you're not, again, it's the ETH acronym for End Time Headlines. You're going to see the four blood moons with the solar eclipse in the middle of it. That's going to be our app. Download it today and keep up with all of what we're going to be talking about. Now, today, guys, we got an interesting one. The title alone is going to attract a lot of people on this broadcast. I'm going to be talking about, there has been a new article that has come out. This was from the sun.com, which is a UK affiliate. Other outlets have picked up on this. A man is making claims that a mega earthquake will strike America in July of 2022 and millions will quote unquote disappear this summer. Now, before everybody gets excited and worked up, there was a reason why I wanted to talk about this today on multiple levels. But before we get into this, here is some scripture references I want to give you on your screen, because I'm not going to pull all these up here. But you guys who like to take notes, here's all the scripture references that I will reference on today's broadcast. For you guys that are listening, it's Matthew 24, 36 and 39, Hebrews 11 and 7, Revelation 11, 3, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 18, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53, Luke 17, 24 through 30, Matthew 24, 36 through 44, and Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Here's the headline. Time is up. Quote, time traveler from the year 2034 is making some crazy claims. Now, listen, I know some of y'all is going to be like, whoa, wait a minute, Brother Ricky. I can't believe you would even entertain such nonsense. Well, there's a reason and there is a method for the madness. I promise you that, or I wouldn't be talking about this. So let me just chill out for a second. Don't tune me out. Hang on. We're going to talk about this. Time traveler. You guys are listening by Spotify and Applecast. Air quotations. Time traveler. I don't believe in that nonsense. Just letting you know up front. But nevertheless, this alleged man from the future, in fact, he alleged he's from 2034. And who is this guy? He's on TikTok. He's on social media making claims to know the exact day, quote, of the apocalypse and when it's coming. So what are we talking about today? We're going to get into that. A so-called time traveler from 2034 has claimed to know the exact day an apocalypse is coming in a chilled, quote, leaked document. The TikTok user, and by the way, here's number one reason why we're sharing this, because his video has garnished massive amounts of views, and you would be shocked and surprised at the number of people that will believe this nonsense. And Christians will swallow this up. And I'm going to show you why in just a second. The TikTok user said a series of terrifying events are due to kick off this summer, quote, with millions of people set to mysteriously disappear. Well, that's the rapture of the church, Brother Ricky. Listen, I know how Christians think, and that they will get on board with that. Now, listen to this. And a new species of, quote, stalkers will appear around the world. This man claimed that the start of the apocalypse or the apocalyptic event will be, quote, the great split. This is when he claims this is when the ground in the United States will rupture in America, and what he calls America's largest earthquake to ever hit America. Interesting. The self-proclaimed time traveler said millions of people will then at that time mysteriously vanish and then what will proceed after that will be a new species of, quote, beast that will appear across the globe and take over civilization. The horrifying predictions are set to take place on a number of dates that this man gives between July and October. The video of this, again, of these wild premonitions is what they said they used in the article, or claims or prophecies, has racked up more than 450,000 likes and 10,000 comments. Now, I'm going to pull up. Again, this is from the article. Again, this is from thesun.com. Here's his quote-unquote predictions. And we're going to get through all this. Calm down, everybody. Just stay with me for a second. I promise you, I'm going to give you biblical balance to this. He said, quote, warning. A leaked document from a time traveler has warned us to remember these dates. Even in the videos, he said, mark down these dates. And he's gained massive followers, probably because they're intrigued and because they want to write down these dates and they're going to see. Here's what he said, quote, July 14th, which is what? 2 months from now, close to it. He said, this is when the great split of America will take place with the largest earthquake ever recorded. Then he says the next month after that, on the 9th of August, over 2 million people around the world will mysteriously disappear. Then he says on October 3rd, creatures known as, quote, stalkers will also appear around the globe. Now, let me pull this back. And again, I know what people's going to say. Why in the world are you talking about this nonsense? Because believers, self-proclaimed Christians, will fall for date setters. One guy, and there's many of these guys, I won't even say one guy, but many of these guys claim to have visions and dreams, and they'll set dates. Now, listen, I'm not against dreams, guys. I'm not against visions. If you guys know me, you know that's not the case at all, because I myself have shared what I believe is prophetic dreams and visions that the Lord has given myself. And if he gives me a date, I will tell you to write it down. And if it don't come to pass, you could call me a false prophet. But never has the Lord given me a date on any event, ever. Now, he has shown me things to come in the future, and they've been fulfilled. One of them, as you guys know, if you're a longtime viewer or listener of the program or of this ministry, you will know that my firstborn, Elijah, who's now 14, at that time, he wasn't even born. The Lord spoke to me, said, your firstborn will be a boy. And I knew I was reading out of the book of Kings, and I felt inspired to name him Elijah. So 5 years prior to our firstborn baby, we collected and gathered clothes for a boy. Why? Because the Lord had spoken to me that he would be a boy. And all of our friends were like, are you sure it was a boy? And I said, yes, I know that it was the Lord. I know he spoke to me. And 5 years later, we had a child. And when we went to get the ultrasound, the nurse there was like, would you like to know the sex of the child? And I said, you can show us, but we already know. And she said, oh, really? And I said, yes, it's a boy. And she said, that's interesting. It is a boy. And then it opened the door for me to talk about the Lord, reveal all that stuff, and it allowed us to witness to her. So again, I emphasize, I'm not here to bash, trash, or discredit anyone who claims to have a vision or dream of the Lord. But we, as the body of Christ, are to hold people accountable that say these kind of things. And this gets very dangerous. And I'm going to explain why. Matthew 24, 36 through 39. Again, Matthew 24, 36 through 39. So, all right, red flag number one, the guy who alleged these dates of these events calls himself a, quote, time traveler, and he's from the year 2000 and what, 34? Now, unless you're smoking crack, you probably won't believe that. I'm just saying. So there's a red flag right there. But let me listen, being the preacher that I am, I want to go to the word. Let's say, get us in the word, Brother Ricky. Get us in the word. That's what I'm going to do. Matthew 24, 36 to 39. Let's see what the word says about this. Ready? But of that day and hour, no one knows the day of the, quote, apocalypse, the end of the world. That's what they're alleging here. Of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, not even Jesus knows the day or the hour, but the Father only. All right. Again, that's Matthew 24, 36. So listen, clean out your ears. Listen real carefully. Ready? Therefore, I don't care if it's a rabbi, a mystic, a prophet, a teacher, a pastor, an apostle, an author, or a, quote, time traveler. Whoever it is, if they tell me that God, an entity, a ghost, a spirit, a fortune teller, whatever, a dream, a vision, an apparition, or a premonition told them a date of the apocalypse and the end of the world, I'm going to write it off right off the bat. Why? Because Jesus doesn't know the day nor the hour. The angels in heaven don't even know the day and the hour. So no mortal man on earth is going to know the day nor the hour of the end. And by the way, just throwing this out there, the world as we know it will not end. It's called when Jesus said, this gospel, the kingdom shall be preached into all the world and the end shall come. He's not talking about the end of the world. He's talking about the end of the age, the end of the age. There's a difference. It's the end of one age and the beginning of the other, or the introduction of another age. All right. And I don't care if they're saying it's the rapture. Well, this guy's not saying it's the end of the world or it's not the apocalypse. He's saying that's when the rapture is going to happen. No man knows the day nor the hour. And I'm going to prove it to you with more scripture. Don't get me stirred up because I'll go deeper than this. Listen, let me give you a few reasons why date setters are very bad. And that they cause more problems in the body of Christ than they do good. Ready? Number one, date setters have a 100% fail rate. And by the way, you can do your own research on this. You can go all the way back to 53 AD. And that's when these jokers first began to make these kind of predictions and put dates on them. At 53 AD, 500 AD, 1000 AD, 1033, 1186, 1420, 1526, 1534, 1650, 1666, 1809. And it goes on and on. Let me give you all the way up here to in 1970. The True Light Church of Christ made a claim of fame by incorrectly forecasting the return of Jesus in 1970. Never happened. 1973, a comet that turned out to be a visual disappointment nonetheless compelled one preacher to announce that it was a sign of the Lord's return. Well, guess what? The Lord didn't return in 1973. 1975, the Jehovah's Witnesses. We're back at it again in 1975, and the failure of the forecast did not affect the growth of the movement. The Watchtower magazine, which is a major witness propaganda piece that they have, has over 13 million subscribers. They made some claims, never happened. 1977, there was the killer bee scare. One prophecy preacher linked the killer bees to Revelation 9, 13 through 12 and proclaimed that it was the end. It was the apocalypse. Guess what? Never happened. 1981, another individual came out, said that there was going to be a heavenly alignment that would involve Jupiter and other planets. And when those planets aligned, it was going to be the sign of the coming of the Lord. Guess what? Didn't happen. 1982. Same thing, didn't happen. 1984, Jehovah Witnesses are back again. Made it claim the Lord was going to come back, didn't happen. 1987, the harmonic convergence, New Agers, all forth, and even the church got involved in saying that the Lord would return, didn't happen. 1988, some guy wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Would Happen in 1988. Guess what? That book is sitting on shelves collecting dust right now, or it became good firewood. 1989, another individual came out, said the rapture would take place. Didn't happen. 1991, a group in Australia predicted Jesus would return. Didn't happen. 1991, Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan proclaimed the Gulf War would be the War of Armageddon and it would be the final war. Didn't happen. 1991, a Russian-born rabbi said that this would be the year of the Mashiach, and it didn't happen. 1992, 1993, 94, 95. We could go on, guys. 96. I'm going to go all the way up here. Let's skip, because I don't want to bore you too much. 2000, another planetary alignment didn't happen. We go all the way to, and 2000, and by the way, 2000 was the Y2K. Remember that? Preachers got up and told their congregations that before at midnight in 1999, at midnight of 2000, the Lord was going to return, and it didn't happen. 2000. In 11, you remember this guy, a guy by the name of Harold Camping. He predicted that, and this guy spent a lot of people's money who was followers of him. This is what blows my mind. This guy had a massive following and people that funded this nonsense. And he went, remember this? He went all around the cities of America making these huge billboards. And it said the end of the world or the apocalypse, May 21st, 2011. How many remembers that? Well, guess what? It didn't happen. And then we had the Mayan calendar in 2012. This put so much fear in people that that Hollywood jumped on board and created a movie out of it, and it didn't happen. All right. So number one, date setters have 100% fail rate. Number two, date setters make a reproach to the body of Christ and turn them into a laughing stock. Because when these individuals get the spotlight, and guys, mainstream media will always give these guys attention. You know why? Because the mainstream media is laughing. Even secular people, even atheists and agnostics, they know and they laugh because they know it's not going to happen. So they will put the spotlight on any of these jokers making these claims because they know that they will make everybody else who is a, quote, Pentecostal, charismatic, hello, spirit-filled believer, who any way or shape or form remotely preaches on the book of Revelation, the apocalypse, the end times, the tribulation, they will make us all look like nut jobs. So this, these date setters, makes all of us look bad. When I say us, I'm talking about watchmen. I'm talking about there's still true prophets. There's still men and women of God who have been raised up in the last days to be a voice in the body of Christ and to point us to the times and the seasons of the return of the Lord. We're not discrediting that. Listen, Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah was divinely warned of the things not yet seen, and he was moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. So watch this. Noah made a prediction about an event, and he preached over 100 years that this event was coming, and they laughed him to scorn, but it took place. But we're, listen, how many believes Noah had a good track record? We're not talking about, we're not bashing Noah here. We're using him as an example of credibility. But the body of Christ is losing credibility when we, come on, when we begin to follow and embrace people, men and women who are making these ridiculous claims and setting dates. And they keep failing, and they keep predicting, and they'll fail it again, and they'll keep predicting, and they'll keep failing again. Oh, don't get me started on the last election cycle when all these jokers claim that the Lord spoke to them, the Lord gave them a dream, the Lord gave them a vision, an angel of God showed up in their bedroom, and all these people said that Donald Trump would win the re-election, and it did not happen. Yes, it did happen. No, it didn't. He got cheated out of it, whatever. I'm not here to debate that. But the bottom line is, listen, for all the people who said, well, he did win it, but it got taken from him. Do you not think that God, if God truly was the inspiration behind these alleged prophets who had a dream, had a vision, had a visitation, if it was truly God who is the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, he which was, which is, and is to come, and knows the end from the beginning, don't you think God would have seen that and still would have revealed to them that it was going to be taken from him and he was not going to win the election? Come on, guys. I don't know what God you serve, but that's the God I serve. I don't serve a God that the election outcome threw him off guard and he never saw it coming. So he couldn't warn the quote prophets that that was going to happen. Really? Come on. Number three, it discourages ministers of the gospel and watchmen, including pastors and watchmen, to speak or even teach on the end times or Bible prophecy. Listen, you got people that they're called by God to be a watchman, but they don't want the scrutiny that comes with it. They don't want the persecution that comes with it. They don't want the tags that come. Listen, watchmen are some of the they're almost like the scum on the bottom of the feet because we get laughed at, we get ridiculed, we get scorned at. But it's interesting because Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which were written in it, for the time is near. All right. And number four, this one's going to stir you up. Number four, I believe it's an attempt of the enemy to completely discredit a future event that the Apostle Paul talked about in the New Testament. Ready? He described it in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 when he said, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Then he wrote to the church of Corinth, and he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 through 53, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I'm here today to tell you that this event that Paul talked about to the church of Thessalonica, this event that he talked about to the church of Corinth, these are not two separate events. These are one and the same event. I'm telling you, there's coming a day, there's coming an hour, there's coming a time when there is going to be a shout from heaven, and it's going to be the Lord himself. It's going to be the voice of an archangel. It's going to be the trumpet of God. There is going to be a miraculous event where the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and we who are alive and remain at that time shall be caught up. I'm telling you, it's going to happen in a moment. It's going to happen in a twinkle of an eye. It's going to happen, and come on, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And Paul said, comfort one another with these words. Listen, so I refuse, and Paul said it, the Lord inspired it, and the prophets confirmed it. I'm not going to get discouraged. I don't care how many scoffers rise up. I don't care how many people keep missing the mark. I don't care if all this stuff and this nonsense keeps circulating. We got to keep our eyes on the word. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord. We got to keep our eyes focused. And then, come on, look neither to the left, look neither to the right. The devil's distracting. The devil's trying to... He's trying to get people to lose their credibility. He's trying to get your attention off the word, his presence, and what matters. Now watch this. Now I'm getting ready to close here. I want to show you this. Turn with me to the book of Luke 17. Let me give you a different angle to this. I'm going to completely dispel something that has been propagated behind pulpits for generations, and it's regarding the coming of the Lord. Ready? Now I got your attention. Listen, I've heard it preached for over 20 some odd years, and I've heard it in some form or fashion like this. Ready? I tell you what, when the Lord comes back, he's going to come back when America, and they always mention America. They never mention Germany. They don't mention Europe. They don't mention the Middle East. They don't mention any other country, but it's America, as if God centers all prophecy around America. When in fact, I'm going to show you in a minute that his focus is around Israel, because they're the fig tree. But in some form or fashion, I've heard this preached, and they'll say something like this. I tell you, the Lord's going to come back, and you're going to know. The body of Christ is going to know when the Lord's about to split the eastern sky. You'll know it because America will be in ruins. The stock market will be collapsed. There will be worldwide rioting. There'll be civil unrest. There'll be famine and pestilence and earthquake. America will be absolutely at its lowest part, and ruins and desolation, and everything will be devastated. And then when that happens, the Lord will split the eastern sky. Well, you know, that sounds, it'll stir your emotion, and you'll give that a big shout and an amen, preacher, but it doesn't really line up with scripture. What? Let me show you. Look at this. Luke 17, 24 through 30. Listen, this is the Lord speaking. Ready? For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first, I said, but first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Now listen to verse 27. Clean out your ears. They ate, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. I said life was going about as normal. They were eating, drinking, sowing, reaping, planting, giving a marriage. It wasn't despair, destruction, desolation, collapse. It was a normal day. Everybody was going about doing their business and life was as normal. Just like it was in the days of Noah, the Lord said, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. Watch what, like just verse 28. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day, somebody say on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now look at verse 30. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, I'm going to go to Matthew 24, 36 through 44. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. Again, the fig tree is the nation of Israel. When its branches has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Who is the you here? The you that he's speaking to is not the world. The you is us. It's disciples. It's followers of Yeshua. When you see the fig tree and its branches becoming tender and putting forth leaf, you and I will know this summer is near. So you and I also, when you and I, believers, see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. When we see the things that the Lord warned us would be coming as birth pangs, we as believers will know the end is near. He didn't give a date. He didn't give a specific day and hour. He said, you'll know that summer is near. You will know that it's even near. You'll know that it's even at the doors. But watch this. He said, you and I will know this. We will discern this. We will recognize this. But the world will not know it. They will be going about as business as usual because the world is in darkness. And you, my friend, and you and I, we are not in darkness as they are, but we are in the light. So listen, you and I will know the season. We will know the times and seasons of his return, but we have not been granted to know the day nor the hour of his return. Come on, y'all. Are y'all getting this today? Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. He's talking about the generation that is alive and will see the culmination of all those events taking place simultaneously. Listen to this. We got to keep going here. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Look at this, verse 36. But of that day, here it is. He's repeating what was said up here and what the other gospel writer wrote. Listen. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But look at these major clues. Ready? Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood. Somebody say the days before the flood. What was the flood? Answer, judgment, right? Was the flood not a judgment of God? He says, look at this, as in the days before the flood, now he's not talking to us. He didn't say you. He said they, the world. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving a marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came. Listen, they did not know until the flood came. Again, so there's no way possible. God is not going to permit it. I don't care how many followers they have. I don't care what kind of ministry they have. I don't care if they're prophet so-and-so or apostle so-and-so or the rabbi, the greatest rabbi in Israel, or the greatest mystic, or the author of this, or, well, brother, they predicted this and predicted that. If God said that his own son and the angels in heaven don't know the day or the hour, listen, friend, God is not going to allow a mortal man to predict the day of the coming of the Lord, or he would prove himself as a liar. Oh, I'm preaching better than some people are listening today. I can tell you that much. Listen to this. People get mad when you start talking about this stuff. Because listen, some of you are following these people like this, and you're buying it hook, line, and sinker. Verse 40, let me go back to 39. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Listen to verse 40. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, another left. Two women will be grinding into meal. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Now, who's he talking to? Us. We got to watch because we don't know what hour our Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Now, guys, right there, I could drop the mic and go home. Let me say it again. The Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. So can I say this without people getting mad at me? If you are expecting the Lord to come because of a prediction of a stock market crash, or because of this shortage, or because of some kind of a celestial alignment, and again, I'm not knocking famines or pestilence or signs in the heavens. I'm not saying it. There are signs of the seasons of the Lord. But to put actual precise dates on it, that's where we're crossing the line. And he tells you here, just as in the day of Noah and Lot, they went about normal living, and they laughed at the preachers that was telling them that judgment was coming. They were laughing at the warnings. They were laughing at all that stuff. And they said, psh, and we're just going to go about living our life. And watch this. And judgment came in a day and an hour they did not expect. Is that not what Jesus said? Look at the days of Noah. Look at the days of Lot. And he said, so shall be the Son of Man. And he says here, the Lord is going to come back in a day and an hour that you don't expect. Matthew 25, and then I'm done. Y'all didn't expect me to preach this much today. Y'all thought I was going to just give you some prophecy update. No, we're going to preach today. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. That was dumb right there. Listen, we got a lot of believers that ain't got no oil. Oh, they got a shout. They got a clap. They got an amen, and they can talk the Christianese, and they can carry a Bible under their arm, but they ain't got no oil. There's no passion. There's no fire. There's no zeal. There's no anointing. They don't spend time in the presence of God. They don't go to church half the time. They're not faithful to God in their finances. They don't have a covenant with him. They just kind of show up when they show up, and, you know, la-di-da, and whatever be, shall be. They've got lamps with no oil. Watch this. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, oh, bad things happen in the wait, in the delay. See, everybody can be an on-fire Christian when you first get saved. Come on, somebody. When you first get saved, you're ready to win the world. You're ready to evangelize the world. You're ready to preach the gospel to everything that has a heartbeat. And you're like, you are like, the Lord's going to split the eastern sky tonight because he was waiting on me to get saved. And you are excited, you are zealous, and you know, and you're going around preaching everybody, the Lord's going to come back. He's coming back at any moment. He's going to split the eastern sky. He's going to shout. There's going to be a voice of the trumpet. The Lord is coming back. I mean, you are just preaching it. And then watch this. A year goes by. And then 3 years goes by. And then 10 years goes by. Come on, you still have oil in your lamp? Do you still have that zeal? Do you still have that fire? 15 years goes by, then 20 years goes by, and then 30 years goes by. And then one day you just wake up and you realize that, yeah, you still have your lamp. Come on, but you've lost the oil somewhere in the journey. You've lost the fire. You've lost the passion. You've lost, come on, somebody, you've lost the wonder. You haven't shed a tear in years. Your eyes have been dry. Your heart has been hardened. And you can't even tell you somebody the last time you were broken in his presence. You can't tell somebody the last time you got into his presence and the Spirit of God and the power of God came into your room or came into your church or came into your prayer meeting and you were on the floor and laid out before the Lord and you were completely changed in his presence. I'm telling you, we've got a lot of believers that are going around and they have lamps, but they don't have oil. But watch this. How does it happen? Ready? Answer. The delay, the wait, the process. I said, while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. It's right there in the text. Nobody slumbers. Nobody sleeps. Come on. As long as you've got oil in your lamp, as long as the bridegroom is with us, as long as the embers are red hot and you first have that encounter with God, this is why I'm going to plow a little bit deeper here. This is why the book of Acts chapter 3, Peter stands up and says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times, not one time. Listen, it's not a one-time event. You don't get oil in your lamp one time. Because you get oil in your lamp on a Sunday night service, and then by the time you get to Thursday or Friday, and you've been to work around a bunch of ugly people, and you've been stuck in traffic, and you've been dealing with a bunch of crazy people, by the time you get to Friday, that oil has run all the way out, and it's gotten to the very bottom of the lamp. So he says, repent, therefore. And be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times, plural tense, of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Listen, I don't know. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself today, but I can tell you, I can gauge on whether and how much oil I got in my lamp by how grumpy I get sometimes, by how much less patience I've got, how much of an attitude I've got, I can determine how much oil I've got in my lamp, depending based on how I respond in situations. Is it through faith or is it fear? Is it patience or am I freaking out? Do I have anxiety or do I have peace? Am I ready? Come on, somebody, to lose my temper or am I long suffering? Oh, I can't get no help up in here. I'm trying to tell you today that bad things happen when the bridegroom's delayed. When he delays, people sleep, people slumber, and their oil goes dry. But watch this. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming out. Go out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose. They trimmed their lamps. And the foolish, it's amazing. Listen, it's amazing how they got a quick revelation of just how full their lamps were when they thought the Lord was even at the door. Listen, you don't know how, you don't know your level of how, what your relationship is with the Lord. Sometimes it takes certain events to wake you up, to realize how on fire for God you are or how slumbered you are. You don't want me to preach right here. I'm talking about you'll see whether or not you believe on laying hands on the sick and they shall recover when somebody in your house gets a sickness or an infirmity. You'll see it real quick if you believe the Lord is Jehovah Jireh, your provider, when they give you the pink slip at your work because you just lost your job. You'll believe whether he is Jehovah Shalom, your Prince of Peace, when all hell's breaking loose in your world, whether or not you have peace or whether you're falling apart at the seams. You will know how much oil you got in your lamps because life will come and present itself, and you will know and be determined to know that then. So as long as the bridegroom is delayed, they can all sleep, they can all slumber, and even those who have no oil, there is no urgency to get filled up. But as soon as they heard, hey, the bridegroom's here, they raise up and they're like, oh my God, I don't have any oil. I'm still in the text, guys. I've been caught off guard. I didn't expect the Lord to come back now. I thought I had time. I thought I had more time to go and do what I wanted to do. I thought I could play around. I thought I could sit on the fence of mediocrity. I thought I could be lukewarm. I thought I could have one foot in the world and one foot in him. I thought I could have two sets of friends, one I go to church with and one I go to the club with. I thought that the Lord would be gone another 20 years or 30 years. No, it said the cry went out and the bridegroom, and it said the bridegroom here, he's even at the door, go and meet him. And then all the virgins rose up, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish immediately began to say, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Preacher, lay hands on me. Speak a blessing over me. Pray that God heals me. Pray that God blesses me. Pray that God delivers me. Pray that God sets me free. God, listen to me. Ready? God never intended for you to run to your pastor or run to a quote apostle or a preacher or another individual to bail you out or to get you out of the warfare or get you out of whatever you're going through. Come on. My Bible says, behold, I've given unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Listen, what are you going to do when you can't find a preacher, when you can't find your pastor, when you can't find a man of God, or you can't find a woman of God? Here's what I'm going to tell you. This is what will happen. It'll make you rise up out of your slumber and get back in the Bible, get back in the Word, get back in his presence, get back in worship, get back in praise, and you'll praise him and you'll worship him and you'll get into his presence until you get all that funk off of you, until you break the chains off of you, until you break the bondage off of you. And then all of a sudden, and then when the oil begins to, come on, fill you back up, then you begin to decree, you begin to declare, you begin to bind. Come on, somebody. You begin to loose and you begin to see miracles begin to happen again. And the best thing of all is whether the Lord comes back tonight or whether he comes back tomorrow or whether he comes back later, as long as you've got oil in your lamp, you will be ready. So they said, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, there's not enough for us both. But go, listen what it says, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And listen to this, verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Ready for this? And those who were ready went into the bridegroom chamber. I said those who were ready. Those who were ready went in and the door was shut. And afterward, the virgins came and said, Lord, open to us. And the Lord says, assuredly, I don't know you. Verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man's coming. Here's where I want to close with this. While I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit on me today, listen to what this preacher's saying to you right now. Listen, I can tell you this. Date setters are 100% fail. They are going to fail every time. But here's what the Word of God says. Even if it was to come to pass, Even if an event did take place when these guys predicted it, it don't change anything, because here's why. Because if you don't have oil in your lamp and the Lord comes back, you're not ready and you won't be ready to meet him. I'm telling you, the Bible says only those who were ready were given access and permission to enter in with him. So listen, I challenge you today. I don't know who's listening to this. I don't know who's watching this, but I'm asking you today, do you have oil in your lamp? Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you ready? Or has the process of time and the delay of our master, has it wore you down? Has it made you lackadaisical? Has it made you complacent? Has the devil cradled you to sleep? Has life and circumstances and trials and tribulation, has it drained and sucked the oil out of your lamp? If you answer to me yes in any way, form, or fashion, whether you're watching or whether you're listening, this is what I want you to do. I want you to lift your hands right now. Lift your hands up before the Lord, and you begin to cry out to him. Begin to ask the Lord to feel, man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Begin to ask him. Just open your mouth and cry out and say, Lord, here I am. Fill me up. Fill me with fresh oil today. Give me a fresh fire today. Come on, some of y'all need to do what Peter said. Repent, therefore, and be converted. You say, well, I got saved 20 years ago. It don't matter. Repent. Repent today. Repent of what if you're backslidden, repent. It's as simple as that. If you confess your sin before him, confess your trespass before him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Listen, he can fill your lamp today. Come on, times of refreshing. Some of y'all still got your hands up. Ask him to refresh you. Ask him to fill you up today. Come on, somebody, let those tears flow. Some of y'all, you've not had tears flow from your eyes. You've been dry-eyed for years because your heart's been hardened. Circumstances has hardened your heart. Trials have hardened your heart. Come on, churches, church folks, letdowns, disappointments, discouragements, whatever it is, has hardened your heart. And it's dried out your lamp. But I got good news for you today. I come by to tell you today that God is giving some people some fresh oil in their lamps today. Fresh oil in their lamps. And you, some of y'all saying, wow, I didn't see this going in this direction at all from the title of this message. Listen, it's okay to use some bait every now and then to catch some fish, if that's what we got to do. Come on, I'm telling you, God is touching some folks. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not even a virgin. I can't even get into this in Matthew 25 because I'm not even right with God. That's okay. Repent. Repent where you're at. Repent for doing things your way. Repent for rejecting the gospel. Come on. If you still have a heart beating in your chest, if you still have a pulse and you're still breathing, there is still hope for you, my friends. Listen, you wouldn't be on this broadcast today if God had given you over to a reprobate mind. Listen, reprobate minds. People that's been given over to a reprobate mind, they're not going to be on a broadcast like this. They're going to be as far away from, they're going to be those people that are isolated from society because they don't want anything to do and with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, preacher, I'm afraid I blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, trust me, you wouldn't have a fear that you did it because you would feel no conviction. Come on, we are breaking the lies of the devil off some folks today. We are setting some people, let me clarify that. I'm not doing anything. God, the Holy Spirit is setting people free today by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you will just welcome him into your home, into your office, into your vehicle, into your, wherever you're at in your space. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears, let him open. The doorknob is on your end, friend, not his. If it was on his, he'd open the door and come in. But he says, I'm standing at your door and knocking. You have the doorknob on your end. You have to open the door to your heart. You have to let him in. He wants to come in. He wants to sup with you. Thank you, Father. Come on, this. Just receive this today. Father, I thank you that you're moving on people today. You're touching people today. You're delivering people today. You're saving people today. You're regenerating people today. Lord, you're bringing back prodigals. You're bringing back prodigal sons and daughters today. You are filling lamps today and making a bride today ready for the coming of the Lord, whether that be today, whether it be next week, whether it be 10 years, 30 years, whenever that day be, Lord, may we be found watching and ready, for we know not the day nor the hour of your return. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, for all of our new people, I promise you, this is how we roll. If you're not used to Holy Ghost, fire, and conviction, then this is probably a little bit of shocking to you. But if you like this kind of preaching, you like this kind of teaching, you like this kind of equipping, then please, by all means, subscribe to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, get the app, download the app, get the podcast, be notified of all of our headlines. And I promise you, you will not regret it. We are a voice crying in the wilderness. I remember years ago, the Lord, when the 2010, when the Lord raised our ministry up, he said, you will be a voice crying in the wilderness. I didn't even really know the extent of that at that time. But now more than ever, because John was a voice in the wilderness. John was not permitted many times. Nowhere in the scriptures that I read, John was permitted to preach in the temples or the synagogues. And here's the crazy part, is John was raised up by God to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. But yet he was rejected by religious people. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm trying to tell you, this ministry is a voice crying in the wilderness. I refuse to be like everybody else that won't preach on. Listen, here's what, can I promise you this? If you're new to our ministry, you will never hear us compromise the gospel. I promise you, we will preach repentance. We will preach the cross. We will preach the blood. We will preach sanctification. We will preach, there is no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. We're going to preach all that. We're going to preach on heaven. We're going to preach on hell. We're going to preach the whole gospel. And if we ever got to a point where we couldn't do that on a social media platform, we'll shut it down and we'll go out to a riverbank if we have to, and we'll open air preach. But as long as this ministry has been permitted to go on by the Lord, this is our message and this is what we're going to preach. Listen, I want to, if you guys enjoy these kind of messages, you enjoy our ministry, if it's a blessing to you, encouragement, information, revelation on a weekly basis, we want to give you the opportunity again. All of our messages are free. Our podcast is free. Our subscription base is free. Everything is free. All we ask is if the Lord blesses you, you pray about becoming a monthly partner. And you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, which is the easiest way, right there through the app, or go to the main website and give there electronically, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to the address in front of you. If you're watching, if you're listening, it's End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, from the bottom of my heart to you guys, thank you so much for your prayers, your intercession, your support, and your partnership to our ministry. I can never express in words the gratitude and the thanksgiving that we could express to you, because it's because of partners like you that we're able to continue to do what we're doing week after week after week after week. So listen, if you want to get on board of that and you say, I believe in what End Time Headlines is doing and what Brother Ricky's doing, and we want to partner with that, then again, that's how you can do that. And that information is available for you today. So listen, we're going to sign off for this week. We will be back on here, Lord willing, on Monday. I've got another teaching on deck. I don't know if it'll come Monday, but it will come next week. But we'll just see what all headlines come out, because we may want to get you up to date with some stuff. And I know we're going to talk about famine. We want to give you an update on the famine that is spreading its tentacles across the globe. We're going to talk about more about that next week as well. So be looking forward to that. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, may his countenance shine upon you, and may the Lord bless you this weekend. May he protect you and keep you safe, and you're coming in and you're going out forevermore. God bless you guys. We will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.